Our text today, our gospel text, comes from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. We're going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word, if you would. Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, in Jesus' name. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for the denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "Also, go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And so they went. Again he went out again at the sixth hour and the ninth and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us. And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who has borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own. Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last." Let us pray. Lord, today open up this portion of Scripture about your grace that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us, your children. Lead us, Lord, as we look at this portion of Scripture, into a closer fellowship with you. In thy name we pray. Amen. It's often quite interesting to make sure that you read the text around the Scripture. If you look at, those of you that have still got your Bibles open, Matthew 19, verse 30, the last verse of chapter 19, the verse just before our text, listen to what it says. "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And then our closing verse on our text, "So the last shall be first, and the first last." Those verses have encircled this parable. We have to back up to chapter 15 and understand what's going on. The parable before was the young rich ruler. And Peter comes as the spokesman, as the one who loves to take and stick one foot in his mouth and find out what's going on. Always a little outspoken. Always the one that had to know what was going on. Peter makes this statement about leaving everything to follow Christ. This young ruler didn't want to leave everything. But Peter says, "We've already left everything." The disciples had left family. They had left their businesses. They had left their everything to follow Jesus. So what does Peter want to do? Peter wants to know what profit he and the other disciples are going to get because they've left everything to follow Jesus. With that being said, then that brings us into our text today. I titled my message, "Grumbling Over God's Grace." What was Christ trying to tell his disciples in this very parable. I believe that Christ was trying to tell them that the kingdom payment is something that is given, not earned. God gives it to us, not because we've earned it, but because of his grace. Christ was trying to get across to Peter and to you and I today that no matter what you and I have forsaken for the kingdom of God, it's not a sacrifice. It's an investment into our future. What a difference when we look at it in those terms. Kind of wakes us up a little bit. My first point today is the generous master. And underneath of that, I put kindness or loving kindness. You'll understand as I get into this as to why I subtitled it that way. But when we look at this text spiritually, let's not look at it just from the eyes of humans, but let's look at it spiritually. What was Christ really trying to say? I believe he said that the landowner was God. The people that he called that first hour were his first disciples. Are we the workers of the 11th hour that have been called? Are we at the end of the world? That will be seen. But we know that we are not the first that were called, are we? We understand that the owner of this land, of this vineyard, was very generous. And that he was compelled completely by grace. Note that when you read that scripture that the landowner went to the marketplace five times that day and called people to work. You know what? He did not hire a one of those people that day because he needed them. God didn't hire you and I because he needed us. Do you know why he hired us? Because we need him. Stop and think about that. He wants us because he needs us. What a tenderness, what a thought when you think about that. Scripture says that Jehovah is our provider. He was providing for you and I, not for himself. What a reminder. There are three scripture verses that I want to give you today to help you to understand that God is our provider. The first one, Matthew 6:8. Listen to this verse. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We're not to be like the world. We're not to be like everybody else. We are to go to our Father who is in heaven because he already knows what we need before we ask. That's how much he loves us. That's how much his grace is there for us. The second verse that I want to leave with you today is Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He's going to supply it all. Hasn't he supplied us oxygen? Hasn't he supplied the nature, the trees, to make sure that we don't run out of oxygen? He's provided us just the right amount of gravity to hold us here on earth. He's provided clothing, housing for us. The third verse I want to share with you is Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of God, to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Where are we going to find that grace is when we draw near to Him. Draw near to His throne. And that grace is there for us. These verses are telling us that God is gracious and that He's aware of your needs and mine. He wants to supply those needs. God will meet every need that we have on the basis of grace. Grace is an unmerited favor. Grace isn't something that you and I earn. If you read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews calls grace God's power. I thought that was an interesting when you looked at that, at the book of Hebrews. But there was a Sunday school teacher that took and asked her Sunday school class one Sunday morning, "Can you tell me the difference between kindness and loving kindness?" One of the little girls raised her hand and said, "Teacher, I can tell you." Teacher said, "Tell me, what is kindness?" The teacher said, or the little girl says, "Kindness is when you ask your mother for a piece of toast and she gives it to you. That's kindness." And the teacher looked at the little girl and said, "Well, then what is loving kindness?" The little girl looked at the teacher and said, "Loving kindness is when you ask your mother for a piece of toast and your mother puts butter and jelly on that toast before she gives you." See the difference? That's God is loving kindness. He puts the butter and the jelly on our toast before He gives it to us. God is a gracious, generous giver. How many times have you been told that you can't outgive God? God doesn't just give some blessings, but God gives all of His blessings with butter and jelly on them. What a joy. Scripture tells us He daily overloads us with benefits. Scripture is so full of so many things that God has done for us. King David says, "He anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." How many times has your cup runneth over? God says, "Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse, and I will open the windows of heaven, and I will pour out my blessing unto you." Did we bring our whole tithe into the storehouse this morning? We're cheating ourselves of God's blessings when we don't give to Him. And when we begin to understand that as we give, the blessings that He's going to pour out to us are going to far outreach what we've given Him. Because we cannot outgive God. Second point, the jealous murmurers. We need to understand that those who murmur in our text represents believing disciples. They suffered from a jealous prejudice and from a spiritual narrowness. Does that sound a little bit like some Christians today? Where we've gotten so narrow-minded, where we have gotten so concerned that we're scared to give to God what's His? Notice the first workers were very descriptive. They were called believing disciples. But those first workers were then and now as well. We do not know which hour of workers we are, but be careful how the disciples thought that because they were at the very conception, the ground floor, so to speak, of the church of Jesus Christ, that they thought that they should have a higher reward than anyone else. Jesus said, be careful. Because there has been so many throughout history that their thinking has been only about the temporal benefits of serving Jesus Christ instead of the spiritual ones. And we need to be reminded of that time and time again. The word that messes most people up is the word of entitlement. We think we're entitled to it. Entitlement is a word that is used in the world. It is not used in the word in the kingdom of God. Go back to reading those two verses again, at the beginning, at the end of the text. What does God say? Reminds us that. This word of entitlement carries the idea that we're working for something so we deserve or have a merit to take it. But on the spiritual side, nobody can work their way into heaven. No one. Because all of good work is tainted with sin. Once we begin to deal with merits or with entitlements, we then have to begin to work with demerits. Thank you. Bless her heart. The demerits. Okay, she heard this once already, and I had it right the first time. The demerits. How many of you would like to know that you are guilty of all of these demerits? And yes, we can say, hey, all of these demerits, grace will take care of and forgive them. But they're all held against us because of all of these things that we're doing over on this other side. Well, Scripture tells us something about the sin in our soul. It says our soul is certainly going to die from sin. Because the wages of sin is death. And I now want to ask you this question. Do you really want to have the demerits counted against you? I don't want them counted against me. I don't want God to deal with me with the merits and system and have all those demerits against me. I want God to base, to deal with me with his grace. Because if he deals with me with his grace, he doesn't have to deal with me with what I truly deserve. I can't earn God's grace based on my merits. But neither can God withdraw his grace from me because of my demerits. So let's look at these jealous murmurers. They did not complain because they received too little, did they? I thought that was interesting as I was studying this and how God worked this in my, you know, it's just, they did not complain because they received too little. Rather, they grumbled because of what the other workers received. If we keep our eyes on Jesus and we focus on him instead of ourselves, we will not have a problem with jealousy. But once we focus on ourselves, there's going to be a problem with jealousy. We have to be careful about jealousy. We have to be careful about envious. Especially in envying other people's blessings. Because we don't know what that person went through to receive that blessing. So why should we be jealous of it? Instead of comparing our blessings with someone else, we ought to develop the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude. Gratitude for grace. With an attitude of gratitude, we do not have time to focus on someone else's blessings, but it gives us a chance to focus on our blessings, and we can begin to count our blessings one by one. And then we get to see what God has done for us. Number three, the joyful message. The message here is this. How do you suppose the 11th hour ill-deserving workers went home? How do you think they went home? Well, I think they went home very joyfully, receiving a denarius. A denarius was what was considered a one day's wage, a full day of work. But it was the first workers who Jesus had to rebuke, wasn't it? Or the landowner. He had to rebuke them because they were murmuring. They were mumbling amongst themselves, grumbling and complaining. They could not understand this generous landowner. The last workers trusted the landowners that they would be paid fairly. They didn't need a contract. When you read Scripture, you notice that the first workers had to know exactly what they were going to get paid for that day. There's so much in Scripture, when you begin to take a look at it, you begin to all of a sudden realize, hey, wait a minute, those first people that went out at 6 o'clock that morning had to know exactly what they were going to get paid, but everybody from then on went knowing that they were going to be paid what was fair. Because the last workers trusted. Are you trusting God that he's going to give you eternal life? Is that what our reward is going to be, is eternal life? All because of his grace. All because of his generosity, he is offering us eternal life. So that we can go home joyfully. Here's a message that comes out of this text for us. Don't worry about having a contract with God. Because you know what? We are all ill-deserved workers of His. We are all nothing but 11th-hour workers. And you and I are in desperate need of His grace. We all have a debt we cannot pay. In Romans chapter 3, it calls us unprofitable. And something that is unprofitable is sour and it's disposed of. It's thrown out. Do you think God's going to throw us out if we turn to Him? No, He won't throw us out. This morning I came here and I want to tell you something that if we trust God and His goodness, we then will experience His grace. And just like the landowner, he came looking for workers who were desperate, who had a desperate need. God has come to us. And you and I are in desperate need. He came in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth. So today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not grumble about God's grace, but rather rejoice in it. Amen. Lord, today I just say thank You. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for Your grace. Your grace has been bestowed upon each one of us. And Lord, as we turn to You, may You lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Thy holy and precious name we pray.